State and federal ministers are due to sign off on consultations for new uniform national workplace health and safety laws early next year. It comes as a survey of 25,000 workers by the Australian Council of Trade Unions found almost half had experienced trauma or distressing situations on the job, and one in three had experienced violence at the hands of clients, customers or co-workers. The ACTU will include the results in a submission on the new laws, lobbying for psychological health to be a priority reform area for workplace health. Liam O'Brien is the ACTU Assistant Secretary, and Erin Francis is a mental health nurse from Sydney who took part in the survey. They're both with me in our Melbourne studios. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Morning.
Good morning.
Liam, I'll start with you. This is a huge survey. 26,000 employees participated. What picture does it paint of how safe workplaces are around the country?
Thanks, PK. Look, it is a big survey. We were surprised at the number of workers that did participate. We're obviously, you know, confirmed our views that health and safety is a really important issue for many working people. What this showed us was that 4 in 5 workers who responded to the survey had experienced some form of injury as a result of their work. So that's whether it be physical injuries or mental health injuries. It's a pretty significant number and shows that there's a lot of work to be done when it comes to health and safety, and our health and safety laws are not protecting workers in the way that the community expects.
I want to drill down into that mental injury line in a moment, but firstly, 1 in 5 people surveyed by the ACTU know someone who was killed at work, which is a pretty alarming figure. What have people told you about how those events affected them in the workplace? What kind of industries are we talking about here?
Well, this is across industry, and I think what people fail to realise is that whilst our, you know, workplace fatalities are coming down year on year, it's still thousands more die from workplace disease. So nearly one in five workers know someone who's either been killed at work or has died from a workplace disease, and work causes a lot of disease. 1 in 10 cancers in men are caused by work, 1 in 50 in women.
Okay, so that's the definition of how you've included that. Erin, I want to bring you in here. You're a mental health nurse from Sydney. Mm-hmm. I understand you've had issues associated with workplace stress and trauma. What happened?
So I've been assaulted twice in my workplace by our consumers in an acute mental health setting.
You mean clients, people who've come in for help?
Yeah, that's right. So I was left with a long-term whiplash injury, which I received treatment for well over 18 months and still kind of comes with me every day. But the stress of being on work cover and having to deal with insurance companies and the employers is just, it adds to everything that you're going through, and it leaves you kind of quite anxious about what's next for you.
Was there a stigma associated with you seeking help because of the stress you were feeling? I mean, did you feel like you got the support you needed?
Yeah, I think actually I was quite lucky with how my managers responded. It was, the insurance company was quite challenging to deal with. You felt like you were having to prove something constantly, but I was, yeah, very well supported at work, and returning to work was, you know, quite a process, but they were definitely very willing to work with me through it all.
Liam, earlier this year, the Boland Report on Workplace Health and Safety Laws suggested we were doing pretty well with the new era, you know, new laws in this particular area. Do you think they're working as intended?
So I think there's no doubt that we are reducing the rate of physical injury at pretty good rates. You know, year on year, the numbers of people that have successful claims for physical injuries is reduced. However, when it comes to mental stress, this is the fastest growing claim in the system. In fact, it's one of the only growing claims in the system. And it shows that our laws are not doing what they should be doing in relation to mental stress claims. You know, if I walk into a workplace and I injure myself physically, the claim process is pretty easy to get up. If I do so mentally, there are all of these restrictions that are placed before a worker, such as, you know, reasonable management practice. And that's because there is no, you know, enforceable guidelines around what employers are supposed to do to make their workplace mentally safe.
And you mentioned the mental dimension. Let's talk about psychological health. You want that to be a priority area for reform. I think more than 60% of respondents reported experiencing poor mental health. So what are you talking about here? Describe what they were saying was happening.
So Erin's just gone through one example of her experience in terms of mental health. And I think, you know, in terms of a nursing context, one might expect that there are going to be some serious pressures placed on workers. But you're also not got to see that workplace mental health extends far beyond just the occupational violence frame. It extends to things like increasing workloads, long work hours, you know, interpersonal relationships in the workplace that all contribute to people's poor mental health. And what we need to understand is that we're not talking about, you know, completely neutering work entirely. What we want to see is work that's stimulating and challenging, but one that also has employers acknowledging that increasing workloads in particular can cause mental stress, and that's something that needs to be addressed.
Okay, so at the heart of your call is essentially you think that understaffing is leading to some of this.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that, you know, I'm sure Erin can talk to examples in her hospital where, you know, the increasing pressures of more patients with fewer staff has both physical issues in terms of the injuries that workers are going to face, but also in particular mental health issues.
Erin, you work in a particularly difficult environment. Let's be honest. It naturally comes with some risks, right?
Absolutely.
So what can a workplace do to mitigate them? What are your concerns around what they're doing? Because there are obviously procedures already in place to deal with, you know, whether it be violence, what you've experienced, or the general trauma involved in doing that kind of work.
Yeah, so where I work, management agreed to introduce health and safety representatives. Unfortunately, other staff across the state, they had to really fight really hard to even be awarded this condition. It's something that's they're not obliged to uphold a lot of the time, and they just have, there's no incentive for them to do so, which leads to a really unsafe work environment.
Now, of course, this survey was large and broad. Where are the problems most acute, Liam?
So look, absolutely, psychological health is probably the most pressing issue that workers are facing. Obviously, you know, the rate of people that are being killed at work is still at unacceptable levels, but the biggest hazard in someone's work that injures them is now a mental health issue. You know, that is something that has been consistent both across white collar and blue collar industries. You know, we are seeing significant numbers of workers across all sectors experiencing psychosocial pressures around their work, whether it be the long work hours, you know, increasing workloads. This is something that's consistent across the board.
The ACTU is also calling for uniform industrial manslaughter laws. What is the problem at the moment, and what promises do you have from the federal government that there will be changes in this area?
Yeah, so right now we have one state that has legislated industrial manslaughter laws into their work health and safety laws in Queensland. Victoria is about to do so and will do so by the end of the year. It shouldn't matter what postcode your loved one is killed in as to whether they get justice at work. We need industrial manslaughter laws to ensure that bosses who cut corners and kill workers face the harshest possible penalties. We need an effective deterrent, because right now that just doesn't happen.
9 out of 10 unions want to be granted immediate access to work sites to investigate suspected safety breaches. But bodies like the Master Builders Association fear expanding union right to entry could lead to misuse. They point to examples where it has led to misuse in the past. How do you get the balance right?
Well, look, it's really important that workers' representatives are able to come into workplaces and investigate suspected breaches. That's what union members expect of their unions, but it's also what makes workplaces safer. You know, bosses that have nothing to fear in terms of the safety culture that they run and the workplaces that they run should have nothing to fear from unions coming in and assisting their members making work safe. That's what everybody says makes work safe. All of the research supports where you have strong unions in the workplace and unions can access work to inspect to make sure that they're okay, people go home safe.
Thank you to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Liam O'Brien is the ACTU Assistant Secretary, and Erin Francis is a mental health nurse from Sydney.